Hello, Javier, and welcome to this new episode of Knowing Cernis. Thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Let's start with the huge question, which is, Javier, who are you?
So my name is Javier Serrano. I come from a small town in Spain called Castellón, and I have been working at CERN since 1998. I work in the domain of controls for particle accelerators. I lead a section of people doing mostly electronics design and low-level software development, most of the time in the form of Linux device drivers.
So after so many years, what do you like best about your work at CERN?
First and foremost, I like the people. So I think we are blessed with having extremely competent and motivated and interesting people to work with. So it's always a pleasure to come in the mornings and meet these people and interact with them. And also the mandate of CERN is something which is really nice, because maybe we will discuss later a bit more, but I am very interested in knowledge sharing, which is one of the core things that we're supposed to do at CERN. So I interact with many people from other institutes and other universities and groups, which also produce knowledge in the form of software programs or electronics designs. And we are blessed at CERN. We're really fortunate to have that in our mandate. So it is something which I consider natural for people who want to do. So once you understand something, once you know something, very naturally, most of the people want to share it. And sometimes if you're in an institution whose mandate is a bit in contradiction with that sharing, then you can have like some kind of internal conflict. And at CERN, we're very fortunate that the institution, actually, if you look at the basic foundation document of CERN, the CERN convention, us to take some of our time to actually make sure that we share the knowledge we generate at CERN efficiently. So another one of the things I enjoy very much at CERN, or I like very much from CERN, it's its mandate. It's really a very modern mandate, considering that it was written in the 50s. it has aged very nicely. It is very modern, because you can see today, you know, in the 21st century, we know how important knowledge is for the economy and for the rest of our lives. And we have gradually come to appreciate the importance of knowledge. But I'm not sure it was so clear in the 50s of the last century. It is really a very short document, but very well written and very clear and very inspiring. Yeah, I think that's a very good thing of CERN, that mandate.
So Javier, coming back to that small city, to Castellón, I would like to know, what do you miss most from there?
I don't miss much, in fact, because I go there quite often. So I don't have time to miss anything. But I have come to appreciate some things that I didn't appreciate so much before. Every time I go to Castellón, I see things that haven't changed so much. Most of my friends are still there. I was actually the only one going to university, and most of them stayed there. So I see the same things which I like again and again when I go there. And I didn't appreciate them so much when I was in Castellón. And then I came here before I actually went to Lyon in France to study. So my university studies I did in France. So I left in 93, which is quite a long time ago. And until 93, I stayed in Castellón, and there were many things I took for granted. But then I came here and I started my professional life. I have a family, and my kids actually think that many of the things in Castellón are quite exotic and quite cool. So I like that, because here I am the pariah. I don't know how to ski, for example, which is a big problem here, of course. So I am completely handicapped, and they laugh about me, my kids. But when we go to Castellón, they see that their dad knows how to swim properly, or how to dive, or how to fish, or how to sail, and they find it's cool. So I like that. Yes, I like that about Castellón. And I didn't appreciate it so much in the past, the sea in particular. And now I have come to appreciate it fully. And every time I go back there, I enjoy it massively.
So let's imagine now the future, because I'm going to dream big, and I'm going to imagine myself writing a novel in Galicia in front of the Atlantic. Why not? Mm-hmm. And now I would like to know, Javier, what are your dreams?
So, by the way, is that where you come from, Galicia?
Well, let's say that I'm from South Madrid, uh-huh. But my heart is from Galicia.
I see. Mm-hmm. It's a nice place. I agree. Very good dream. So, yes, in my case, it would have to be something to do with knowledge sharing. I don't even think it's professional. It permeates all my life. So it would have something to do with that. So if I have to dream big, it would be playing a role in some big coordination effort at the European or worldwide level to make sure that public money is spent in a coherent way to generate some kind of big foundation of publicly available knowledge. In my domain, it would be software and electronics. I think there is a lot of improvements that we could bring there and build this foundation upon which other people build, including private companies, but have these underlying base with all this knowledge properly gathered and documented. I think it would be something I would like to I'm sorry, I cannot be more concrete than this. I don't know what shape
Don't worry.
I don't know what shape it would take. Maybe some collaboration with the European Union, maybe the European Commission, I don't know. But I see a lot of space for improvement, and I see that CERN can be a platform and an example for many things that could be taken to a bigger scale.
But I think that once you have the what or the topic, then it's easier, or it's like the second level to find the how. I think also like Nietzsche has a citation related with that, that firstly you have the what, like for instance, it was like your meaning or the sense that you want to give to your life, and then you find the how you're mm-hmm. going to do that.
Yes, yes. It's amazing also how Nietzsche is like the endless source of quotes. I mean, sometimes yeah. I am surprised at Nietzsche and Mark Twain. Mark Twain is the other one.
So, they are not going to be mentioned here, but we've got another people, let's say, like closer to humanities, because we are moving now to that place. Because I would like to know, Javier, what comes to your mind when you hear the word beauty?
You know, when I studied in university, I studied electronics and physics. And, mm-hmm. and one of the big heroes for physics students, at least at the time, was Richard Feynman, who was quite a character. In addition to being a great physicist, he was quite a character. So this kind of very romantic character, you know, that you can actually identify with. And he had these brilliant lectures. He didn't write them. He just, you know, he could speak, could improvise, and he would be always a very compelling presenter and educator. And then some other people actually recorded the lectures and put them in book form, and everybody would read that in the university years. And sometimes he would digress. He would be explaining something about physics, and then he would start speaking about beauty. One of the things that stayed with me is this notion that knowing more about a certain phenomenon, like for example, if I look at a glass of wine, and then Feynman famously says that the whole universe is in a glass of wine, and this was said by a poet, and then he goes on to describe everything we know about what's inside the wine and so on, and then in the end he concludes that all these things we know about the wine as physicists or as scientists, they enrich our experience and they contribute to the beauty. So he did not accept this notion that scientists, you know, that explaining something fully devoids it of its mysteries and its beauty and all these things. No, he said the opposite is true, actually. The more you know about something, the more beautiful it seems to you. So when I hear beauty, I think of Feynman, actually. I think about that kind of beauty, yes.
The Spanish composer and classical guitarist Francisco Tárrega, also born in Castellón but in 1852, once said that the sound of the string, but not those strings from your theory, that the sound of the string pulls with the folk, is of an absolute nobility, that it's like a transmission without impurities of the deepest vibrations of our sensitivity. So now I would like to know, Javier, if you agree or not with Tárrega. And also, what do you feel when you listen to a classical guitar piece?
First of all, Tárrega is from Villarreal, which is quite it would be, before I came to CERN, it would have been quite an important detail because, you know, there's a rivalry. And as is the case in many places of Spain, you know, you have Gijón and Oviedo, you have Villarreal and Castellón, you have all these places. So after you come to CERN and you start traveling around, of course, you see that these things are petty things that have absolutely no importance. And I am, of course, very much identified with Villarreal, which is like 10 kilometers away from Castellón. And I like very much my friends from Villarreal. I feel that Villarreal is Castellón, except for the football, of course. But apart from that, I see Tárrega as somebody from Castellón. Now, Tárrega, by the way, he's famous for the... Do you know that he's famous for the Nokia tune? You know, this...
Yeah.
Okay, so now everybody, when they play the Grand Vals, which is the work of Tárrega that includes that those 3 or 4 seconds of the Nokia phone tune, people joke that, you know, some phone is ringing in the middle of the piece or whatever. Anyway, to answer your question, I agree there's something special about guitar sound and music in particular. I don't know if it's that our culture in Spain is particularly linked with guitars, but I feel something special definitely when I hear classic guitar. And I'm a big fan of, there is an international festival of guitar music in Benicassim every summer, and it's called the Tárrega Festival. And I used to go there before the COVID crisis every year, and I enjoyed it immensely. And it's really hard to describe what you feel when you listen to well-played guitar. Yeah, that's the thing about beauty. It's not something that you can actually describe with words. It's something that a pleasure you feel, and then you turn your head to somebody who's also enjoying and you ask, this is beautiful, right? And they say, yes, it is beautiful. But if you had to explain it with words, it would be very, very difficult. And now coming back to this thing about Feynman that I told you about before, mm-hmm. I also enjoy guitar at another level. I have a 15-year-old kid, and he's learning how to program and how to design electronics with me. So we have these hacking sessions in the evenings and in the weekends. And one of the things he does a lot is design music gear and program music, actually. So we are now, actually these days, programming the sound of a guitar string when you pluck the guitar string. So I actually, you know, I'm learning about exactly what you need to make exactly that sound in an artificial way by software. And I am enjoying it immensely, not only because I enjoy doing stuff with my son, but also because of what we said earlier, this extra knowledge that brings extra pleasure and extra beauty. So I very much enjoy guitar, and I agree with the words of Tárrega, of course.
So our previous journey, without knowing all this question related with Tárrega, he wanted to know a song that you like or that you find beautiful. And also he wanted to know, by the way, he's Íñigo Lamas, and he wanted to know why that song and if it has a moment in your life attached to this song.
The song, it's really arbitrary. It's there are many songs I like, but one song I like a lot is New York City Serenade by Bruce Springsteen. And one of the reasons I like it so much is that it gave me a lot of pleasure when I discovered it, and I found it beautiful, and I was kind of listening to it over and over because I had been surprised. And being surprised is a good thing most of the time. being surprised for a good reason. And it surprised me because I had been listening. I had been a big fan of Bruce Springsteen for a long time. And then I started kind of investigating his other works from earlier. This song, I think it was written before I was born. So it was not the first material I listened to from him. But it just amazed me that it was so good, and I hadn't known about it before, and it was long and it was all good. It was like more than 10 minutes worth of song, and I kept playing it and enjoying it every single time. And it gave me this sense of, beauty, sheer beauty. Yes, it relaxes me. It makes me feel good. I've played it in many occasions in my life. I played in the car all the time. I have to drive quite a lot to take the kids to school and back. So I spent quite a lot of time listening to radio and listening to music. So yes, very good song.
So last but not least, you've just become the interviewer. So please, Javier, feel free to ask what you want to our next journey.
Maybe other people have already asked this because it's not a very original question.
Don't worry.
I would ask, what would you change at CERN?
There has been a lot of them related with CERN, especially with the future activities related to CERN. But anyway, every question is welcome. So thank you. Okay. And this was the interview. It's been really short, at least to me, because I really enjoyed it.
Thank you. It was also a great pleasure for me. So if you have any more interviews, I'm ready. Yes, anytime.
Thank you, Javier.
Thank you.